This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
This week's story. This is about my sister, the bride, and how one joke she made ended with me not showing up to her wedding.
Ooh.
Ooh, this is getting spicy. Okay. I've never heard it from this perspective. It's always interesting hearing from a different perspective because so many times I post stories and people are like, you're only getting one side of things. I'm like, yeah, well, that's usually how stories work, right? You only get one side. So I just have to take what I can. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Ennis. Normally I record these intros right after I have a guest on the show, but last night I was so exhausted. Today I'm a little more well-rested, but I still only got like 5 hours of sleep. I've been working on too many crazy projects and I find I'm just like up late sometimes. So I have a special guest today. My best friend Yvette is back on. Episode 12 she was on and we shared a really crazy story. We reacted together and we had so much fun coming on. We're busy moms. We live in different states. We're not too far apart. But it's just hard to get together sometimes. And so it's been so fun just to like have her on the podcast because we like catch up, we talk a little wedding drama, and then we just banter back and forth, talk about whatever comes up. So I invited her back on because you guys loved it so much. And since the last time of her being on, she graduated from her program and she is now a licensed professional counselor focusing in mental health, working with individuals, families, and teens. She's just an amazing person. She's someone that I've always looked up to just because she works hard. She's a great mom, a great wife, and she just really focuses on building strong relationships. If you guys read my book, you might recognize her name. If you haven't yet, this doesn't spoil anything, but there's a little something with her name in the book. And we've talked about it before, about like how we got connected over the years and how we grew closer. And so if you're looking for more of that backstory, go to episode 12. We kind of talk more about this. Today's episode, we kind of just dive right in. But before we get to that, I wanted to just dive into some, I'm going to call it 911 drama before I play the quote unquote interview portion with my friend Yvette. So someone sent me this message about a bridal shower, and I just want to discuss with you guys and see what your takes are on all this. And I've shared some of this on social media. So if you follow me on social media, you've probably seen it. But I've gotten so many messages about it since. So let's discuss. The first message I got says, who typically pays for a bridal shower? My friend is being asked to pay, wait for it guys, $1,500 for her friend's bridal shower. She is a bridesmaid. So of course, my jaw dropped because yes, I've helped plan many bridal showers. I've put some together. I've been a host for some. But most of the time when I am a bridesmaid, I maybe help with like one area of things, right? Like I might bring some food. I might bring desserts. I might help set up, run to the store and get some things, right? $1,500 is unheard of. That is just insane that someone's being asked to spend that. Of course, this is all permission. She gave me permission to share all this. So I said, what? That's unheard of. I would say typically it's the bride's family. Sometimes groom's family is a part of it too, depending on how close they are in relationships. I've helped plan for some things, but never the whole thing. And I'm talking like under $150. And that was even like pushing it, right? She said, okay, same. Usually the bridesmaids run the show, keep things moving, decorations, but not pay for the entire thing. Thank you. I said, yes, $1,500 is quite insane. Does she have other bridesmaids? And that's when I asked her if I could share this to kind of talk about it more. And she said, the maid of honor is a sister who is very wealthy. And I believe there's another sister that is a bridesmaid. So multiple bridesmaids, I don't know if they're all being asked to spend this money, but the family has money. The bride's family can afford this. So my thought and assumption is they want this big, elaborate party, and then they're splitting it. So let's say they're doing open bar, they're doing a plate and dinner, they're doing it at a big venue, maybe a little out of their price range. Because if you are asking your bridesmaids to spend that kind of money, that tells me that maybe the family can't afford it or they don't want to spend the money. And my thing is, if you can't afford it or don't want to spend that money, either don't have a shower like that or do something smaller. Do it at someone's house. Do it where you just pay like a $200 deposit on the room and then cater food in. Like I said, I've helped with showers where they are super small at someone's house and we do very basic, easy food, small bites, right? And I've been to showers that are at big venues that honestly were nicer than my wedding. Granted, I didn't pay for those ones. I was just a guest at them, but I've seen them in ranges, right? But typically if you do that, that's the family paying for it. You should not, as a bridesmaid, be paying for it unless, you know, you want to help and you offer to help in some way. $1,500 to me is insane. So when I shared that to the story, a few other people messaged me and told me some things that happened to them. So I'm going to read a couple of these mini stories here. Speaking of the bridal shower thing on your story, years ago, my friend's mom told us we, the bridesmaids, were the ones solely responsible for the shower. And then she sat there smoking cigarettes while we set everything up, telling us we should move certain things to certain places, never lifting a finger to help us. I ended up getting a Venmo request from the maid of honor when it was all said and done for $300. So of course, that's way less than $1,500, but still the audacity, it should never be a demand that you pay for it. Again, depending on the situation, bridesmaids will help. Like again, like I've seen it where bridesmaids are very a part of it. They help plan things, but typically it's going to be the family that pays for most of it. Or maybe it's like, oh, I'll bring the drinks. I'll help with the decorations. But to then Venmo request each bridesmaid is a little odd to me. So, okay, this next one says, as a maid of honor, I was once asked to not only throw a bridal shower, but specifically asked for it to be in New York City restaurant with a preset menu for about 30 people. Okay, so I hear 30 and I'm like, that's small, kind of average for a bridal shower, right? But this would have cost me between 10 and 20K. So we're talking New York City. I had to set boundaries and say I could not afford it, but would be happy with something much more low key. 10 to 20,000? You could have a small wedding for that cost. That is insane to me. I know, like, I've never lived downtown in the city, right? So I know New York is very expensive. However, we have to consider people. If you are demanding or wanting something specific for your wedding, then you need to be able to either afford it or know that you have the help. A few of the messages I received said traditionally bridesmaids did help with some showers. I don't know. I think it's a very, like, it depends on like where you live, because for example, like I know my grandma did my mom's shower. So I don't think it's completely traditional. I think it just depends on your family, where you live, and what you're kind of looking for. Okay, so that was another example. Okay, here is one more. This one is wild. Saw your story about bridesmaids paying for a bridal shower. I, maid of honor, just paid and hosted for two of my friends getting married. It was supposed to be her family shower. Her mom and sister are not in the state where they could financially foot the bill. So I made sure she had the same family shower experience. I took care of it. She didn't ask. Her future mother-in-law told the groomsmen's family to not show up, and I called a bunch of our friends to come fill the seats last minute so she wouldn't walk in an empty shower. Literally, her mom, sister, and grandma, and three friends from work. So much drama with the groom's family. Second shower was put for our friends' Bible study, since originally there was no room for them at the family shower. It's not typical, but I would still do it all over again to make sure my friend got the love and support she needed. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. I mean, hopefully if you're in a wedding for someone, you really care about them and you want them to have a beautiful day and you want to show your love and support. We did something similar years ago when I was in a friend's wedding. I want to say there were five of us bridesmaids. She had two sisters, but me and another friend, we pretty much put together the whole thing. It was hosted at my friend's mom's house. We planned the whole thing. We put it all together. But again, we fit our budgets. We were like broke. I mean, what, 22, 23 year olds. So we didn't have much money. We did what we could. And so we stuck within our budget. I remember what we ate. I just remember it being very small at our friend's mom's house. It's again, what you want to help with and what works for you. Okay. I knew I had a wild one someone sent me. Okay, here we go. Reading your bridal shower story, I had a similar thing happen. We were told that the bride's mother was paying for the venue, but wanted the bridesmaids to plan things out. Okay, so that's pretty typical. I think for most of the showers I've been a part of, that's how it works. Like bridesmaids are included in some way. But again, depending on the age of the bridesmaid, age of the brides, you're kind of just more there to like help organize, right? We met multiple times to plan the decor and activities, all things that we were able to contribute. Right before the shower, the maid of honor told us that the mom can no longer pay and we would have to. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if the mom had agreed originally and then backed out. But I'm also wondering, like, who spent the money originally, right? So like, was there a deposit down and then she owed more money the day of? Because typically venues, you have to put money down ahead of time, pay a certain amount to hold your spot, right? Or if there's food, decor, you're paying for those things as you go. So I'm kind of wondering if the mom was like, I'll pay you back. And then all of a sudden she's like, I'm not paying you back. We said, okay, but we weren't purchasing alcohol because we didn't budget for this expense. Again, you don't need alcohol at a shower. So like, it's crazy to me because this is not the only time I've heard this about budgeting or like making sure there's alcohol at a shower. That's a little excessive. If you already are struggling and you're asking your bridesmaids to pay for things, the open bar is not a necessity. Get to the shower. The mom and the maid of honor planned their own decor that didn't match the rest of what we had planned, even though the maid of honor was part of the process, and didn't tell us that they told the venue we would provide the first round of drinks for all the guests until after the fact. We each had to pay over $300. This is crazy to me that they just went behind their backs and was like, they're gonna, all these bridesmaids over here, yeah, they're gonna pay for the drinks. No. That is insane to me. There is so much more drama to this. It was very drama filled. The maid of honor felt that we should pay for things since the bride was spending a lot on us. Wasn't the case. The mother of the bride was also trying to send nasty emails to the bridesmaids. But the bride intercepted after reading the email and told her mom no. It was so much drama. Okay, well, props to the bride, but also so shady that the mom was doing this behind the bride's back, being like, you guys need to pay for the alcohol, pay for this. Again, like, there's so much expectations when it comes to social media and comparison. People want these elaborate parties, but what kind of friend are you? And again, in this circumstance, the bride didn't know, right? But I've heard of many where the bride demands this, right? What kind of friend are you if you're demanding your bridesmaids to pay all this money to be in your wedding? That's like, for me, I was so excited just to have my best friend standing up there with me, get pictures together, get our hair and makeup done together. Again, whatever they wanted, I wanted them to enjoy the day because it's like fun to get like pampered and hang out, right? But I would die if I knew that they were going bankrupt or like spending way too much money. That's not what I wanted. I think my maid of honor, I think, spent like $50 on her dress. And I was like, yes, it's on clearance, please. Buy it now. I was all about like save money, wear shoes you already have. You don't have to get your hair and makeup done. Like, I get we want this like great day. We want things to look nice and everything, but we have to like understand people will be happy to support you and be excited for you, but the respect needs to be mutual. And we're talking like all of it. I could go on and on about this forever. We have a full episode. I'm just getting really like pumped up and excited. We recorded it at 8 p.m. last night. 8:30-ish. We do it after the kids go to bed. It's a great way to catch up. But like I said, my best friend is back. I'm so excited to talk with her. She's got her own professional side where she's given some advice. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with my best friend, Yvette. Enjoy. I just feel like we need to just start talking because I would feel like we don't really need to introduce it because I feel like that's so informal for us, for me to be like, hey, Eva, welcome to the class. Tell everyone about yourself.
Yeah, it does feel weird for me to be like, hey, I'm so-and-so because I'm Eva, and that's more than enough.
Like, we're not going to introduce ourselves, and then we're just doing it. I just want to be more casual on these podcasts. I feel like because of where I came from with doing like the podcast before, I don't know if people listening know, like I used to work for like a mommy brand. And so I did a podcast. And so it was very formal because it was for like
a brand that I worked for. And so I'm so used to like doing that now. And I'm like, I just want to hang out with people when they come on, you know?
Yeah. Could have been recording the whole time.
I know. We talked about so many things. We'll see if they come up again. I'm sure they will. But yeah. I was just like, oh, it's getting late and we're chatting. We should probably just start.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me again.
I'm excited. That was on, I don't even know what month are we. It's July now.
Yeah.
It didn't come out until August or September. But
yeah, it was last fall, I think, definitely. Right?
Last fall?
No, this was never mind. This has only been a year in the making. Not even.
Yeah, I started this podcast in January.
Yeah.
You got me so confused.
It's my brain.
I know. My husband, I always say, my husband. I don't even talk to you like that. My husband, Zach and I.
I don't know who that is.
I know. You're like,
well, I don't know who that is.
Zach and I are always like, time is so weird. Because like, we'll look at pictures of my daughter. I just for privacy stuff. And she was a full-on baby last year. Like now she's like a kid.
Mm-hmm. I know. You sent, well, Matt, my husband, sent the picture of her. And I was like, who is that? She's like a kid. She's a kid.
I know. She's like full-on thoughts and stuff. It's so weird how they just grow up so fast.
I love that she's into Spider-Man, though, because definitely went through her Spider-Man phase. And they were so excited when we went to go see the exhibit.
Yeah.
So they loved it. Good stuff.
I love that. It feels like just yesterday you were pregnant at my wedding with Priya.
Yeah. It was cute. We were at the exhibit and she's like, Mom, I was taking a picture. She's like, Mom, I can't do it. She's like trying to figure it out. She's like holding her.
With her fingers.
With her other hand. It's like, I'm like, you got it, girl. You got it.
Gosh.
We'll have to teach the baby.
I'm like weird. Like, doesn't even like matter if people know her name. I'm just like, I think what I'm afraid of, and this is me being vulnerable, I never want people to say a negative comment about her in any way. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just feel very like protective about it. Cause I've seen people like post about like, oh, these are my kids or something, and someone will be like, that's a weird name, or that's, oh, why would you let your kid wear that or do that? And I'm like, I know I'm sensitive. If anyone had said anything about my child, I'd be like, wow. So props to like all the moms out there that just.
I remember like when Paris Hilton had her baby and people were being so mean about her son. And I was like, that is awful. Mm-hmm. I feel like it happens all the time.
Yeah. I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
I think one of the things too that you keep seeing is now with like, I wonder if in your profession too, it's because there's so much more awareness of like special needs or autism or different things. I feel like people are so quick to like diagnose other people. I've seen it online. Someone will post their child and they're like, oh, have you got them checked for this? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, don't say that about someone else's child.
Don't label them.
Yeah, don't label. Yeah. Obviously, if you see like a spot on their back and you're like, that might be melanoma. Yeah, let's like maybe have them look in. I've heard of that happening or people get checked then. I don't know. I guess that's why I'm the way I am about stuff. I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're just talking. Just start talking.
I was telling Yvette before we started that I was recording with this girl, Katie, that was on my podcast, and we were talking. She's like, just start recording. Mm-hmm. And I still felt so weird doing it because I was like, I felt like I still needed to introduce her. And she's like, let's just see what happens. And I was like, yeah, so we were talking about this. And I feel like out of sorts. Like the planner in me is like, oh my gosh.
But I have to introduce, I have to do this, I have to do that. Where do we go next?
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know.
But it's good to be like authentic in it and just go for it.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Which I could just like turn off the part of my brain that's like, it doesn't matter. Just be you, girl. I don't know. Okay, last time you were here, we did something similar. We were kind of doing like crazy stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to react to one, of course, like we always do. But I was thinking too, I'm like, I feel like we could tell so much more. I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
Did you plan for this?
No. I have my talking points and that's it. Okay. I just went on a walk. And so I feel like my allergies are so bad.
Yeah. I don't have that problem. I'm sorry. I can't relate. But my husband has that problem. And I'm always like, are you okay? He's like, oh, my allergies are so bad. Like, I don't get it. I'm fine.
I know. I usually don't have them. This is the first year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they could still be coming. You're young. Just wait.
I used to have them when I was like in middle school for like 2 years and then never again.
Really?
So fingers crossed it stays that way.
I'll stay that way. You'll get lucky. Yeah. No, I know what I was going to say, but I was trying to like protect myself. You know, sometimes like when you start talking with someone, you're like, okay, wait, should I say that or not?
Mm.
With Zach, he was on a Patreon episode and we were talking about groomsmen stories.
Mm.
After we like finished recording recently, I was like, Zach, you have crazy groomsmen stories that like you didn't talk about. And then I was like thinking about when you were on, I'm like, you were my maid of honor. I was like, I wonder if you have any like crazy stories or
about you.
No.
Well, I can just, Krista, she comes off really sweet, but she was the biggest bridezilla ever. No, actually, literally quite the opposite. You were like, oh yeah, I don't care if you wear white at my bachelorette party. I'm like, what? No, they cannot wear white. That's for you.
I feel like at that point, I was just like, everybody's here. Why does it matter what people wear?
Yeah.
Also, it's so awkward. Maybe this is me too, but you like think of that moment of like, oh, cool, it's my bachelorette. It's like my party. But then when you're the one in white and everyone's wearing black, you're like, for the attention, please. Like, yeah, it's fun to kind of like notice, oh, you're the bride. But then it's like also, please look at my friends. They're awesome.
Yeah, for my bachelorette party, we went to a drag show. They were calling me out because I was a bride, but they didn't quite know who was the bride. And they're all like, it's this one. And I was wearing white and I was like, okay, not your typical full on, you know.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. Part of me wishes, I think the second day of my bachelorette, I was feeling really tired. I feel so old right now. I don't know if I was hungover or what, but I remember we were doing the like the pedal bus.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, girl, wake up.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought you were just like having the best time ever.
I was having the best time ever. It was like one of those where I was like, I feel like I'm in my 30s right now.
Yeah. You said like, if I had any crazy stories, this is not like, I just had a friend over who I grew up with, but she is currently living in Texas. So she stopped by the other day and she's planning. So her sister's getting married. She was planning kind of like a surprise bachelorette party kind of thing. Yeah. Well, part of it was all planned out and it was just like her cousins and really good friends and like the bridal party, but they were at this beach and then all of a sudden all of these women, so her aunts, her mom, her grandma, they all came in their original wedding dress, their wedding dresses with the big poofy sleeves and everything and the veils. And they all surprised her. And then they went out to all these bars and all the women were like in their wedding gowns. And I'm like, that is so funny.
I love that. Did you see that trend a while back that was like, you go to Goodwill and you buy like an old lady dress?
No, but I've always wanted to do that.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Why didn't we do that for this podcast?
I don't know.
We're just like wearing 80s wedding dresses.
Oh my gosh. That would have been so funny. It's funny you said that actually, because right before I was getting ready to come on, I was like, oh, we should have done a theme and like worn something. But I was like, you literally see like this far up in my head. So.
Yeah. It's so funny.
I know. That would have been really funny if we just like, we don't like didn't talk about it. We just came on, like acted like.
Yeah, like it was totally normal next time.
I might need some wine if we do that. Speaking of, I don't think I'm a wine person anymore. I don't know. I bought a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And my husband, Zach, was somewhere last night. He was at a friend's house. And I like poured a glass. I texted him. I was like, I'm pouring this out. This is like, I just can't.
Is it
out? The sugar-free wine.
Oh, okay. Is it because, like, do you drink other stuff or no?
I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I had a drink.
Wow. I am so just proud of you guys because Zach doesn't drink and now you're not drinking. And I'm...
Yeah. It's not like that. I'm not. Like if I was at a social event, I would maybe have a drink. I'm trying to think. Have I been anywhere? Now I can't remember. I feel like there was somewhere I was at recently and I had a drink. Anyways, yeah. Getting off topic again. I don't even know if there is a topic. Okay. I feel like I always think of crazy stories that I want to tell later. So if as it comes up, then maybe it will. We're going to switch things up this week and we are going to do rapid fire. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a this or that. So some wedding chaos edition. So just like for different like wedding things. Okay. Would you rather cry in the bridal suite over a seating chart or cry on the dance floor in front of everybody?
Cry in private. Is it my wedding? If it's my wedding, I can cry. I don't care. If it's not my wedding, I am not crying and making it about me. This is about them.
Yeah. I think these are for your wedding. I don't know. I mean, whatever you're thinking.
Yeah.
Would you rather have one therapy session before your wedding planning starts or unlimited venting voice notes from your best friend?
I would see a therapy session every week leading up to a marriage and then after. No. Yeah. I have to say therapy.
Okay. Would you rather have a mother-in-law who overshares everything or one who silently judges everything?
Oh, overshare, please. I want to be comfortable. And
you want someone that overshares?
Like my stuff?
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm pretty vulnerable. What would she share?
Let's say,
like, if I was pregnant and she was like telling people, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no,
or like maybe you've been having really bad pain and you've been going to see the doctor and she's like telling everybody at church or something.
Oh, and what was my other option?
Or silently judges you.
I think everyone judges, right?
Yeah. So I'm sure everyone like has.
I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you say it that way, like I'd rather her just be like, oh, and she's not sharing with people. So that's fine.
Yeah. Keeping it all to herself.
Yeah.
Would you rather forget your vows or say them perfectly while having a visible panic sweat?
I would forget my vows because I would be able to say great things about my partner either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. It's you. So well spoken. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I agree with that. Would you rather lose your cool during a dress fitting or during your rehearsal dinner speech? Wait, I'm laughing because I just realized we never talked about my dress fitting. Should we talk about it?
I just thought about that. Yes. Tell the story, please, because I immediately thought about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I can't believe I've never like shared this before. Was it my first dress fitting?
No, I think it was your second.
So it was to try it on. So I went into my dress fitting and I think for that one, it was.
No, because you had already been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is your second time.
So I must have gone. Did I go by myself?
I think Jordan went with you the first time, didn't she? And then I went with you the second time.
Okay. Jordan and my mother-in-law, I think, went the first time, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I go. And first, okay, me, you, and my mom pull up. Or no, you were maybe behind us or something. We pull up and I called the woman and she was like, I don't have any appointments today. And I'm like, yeah, you have an appointment, like we're outside. And she's like, nope, I'm looking at the books. I don't have anything. She's like, can you come back? And I was like, well, my maid of honor and my mom are here and they live an hour away. We can't really just reschedule today. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll be there in like 30 minutes. Can you just go to the local coffee shop? Which ended up being really cool.
It was a great experience.
It was really great because it was Friends theme and we're big fans of Friends around here. So that was really cute. Then we go back and she's like still not there. And then she like quickly comes around the front, lets us in. No, she doesn't even let us in. I think we let ourselves in. She's in the back, doesn't even come out to say anything. And you can just like hear her back there. And she's like, yeah, I'll be out in a second. And I was like, okay. It was like another, what, 20 minutes.
Yeah, we were waiting for a while. And
yeah.
She was a grandma, right? Mm-hmm. So she had, was it one grandbaby or two? Just the one.
One was there and she was like toddler.
She was a toddler. This woman is stressed out, sweating. I can hear like in the back, things falling down, being knocked over.
Meanwhile, I can feel the tense, tension.
Yes. And the kid's like, grandma, or I don't even know what it was. And here I am like playing. I think the little kid had like Easter eggs, little eggs with like stuff in it or something. That's what I'm remembering.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that.
I was just trying to I don't know, make the situation a little bit better and maybe entertain the kid. But yes. So keep going.
Yeah. So then she was like, what was your name? I was like, Krista. And like, she was like flipping through pages back there in this room in the back. And she's like, yeah, okay, we've got your dress. We'll get it on. And she comes rushing out and puts it in the room. And I like go in there by myself. I like shut the door. Or did I go in there by myself? No, I can't remember. And then I like slowly open it or something. And I was like, Yvette, come here. And you're like, what? And like, so you and my mom came in and I was like, there's blood all over the dress.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a couple spots. It was all over, underneath the layers.
Like a trail of everywhere she was touching, which is the whole dress. Mm-hmm. She was leaving blood everywhere.
Yes. And I feel like she like overheard me say that and then like kind of came back and she's like, oh, it's just a spot. And then just quickly sprayed and wiped. And I was like internally panicking. Cause like in that point, of course, sure, most things can come out, but it's just like a kind of a weird thing to be like, there's someone else's blood on your dress when you're like here to try it on.
Yeah.
I think she was like panicked doing it fast, really fast. And I was like, okay, you know what? they said something's going to happen wrong during your wedding planning. And I said, this is the thing. And I'm just glad it's my dress and it's early. And I think I was internally panicking, but I think at that point you kind of took the lead and you were just like, okay, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like just kind, but you were very like firm with her. Like, okay, what are we doing here? And she's like, I don't know. And then she held her hands up and her hands had cuts all over them, almost like she was just moving really fast. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened is she had me down for the wrong date. And then when I called and said I was outside, she panicked and was like, I have to do this right now. Which if she just said, I forgot, I would have been like, don't worry.
Yes. If we would have known, like, it wasn't just, oh, I don't have anything booked, but like, it's actually not done. Even after that, you were so understanding. I was shocked. I saw everything happen. Like, okay, late, stress is going up. She's in the back. You can feel the tension. Your stress level's going up. Oh my gosh, your dress, your wedding dress is covered in blood. Stress is like up at the top. But then once I like talked to her, you talked to her, I think your mom too, maybe, I can't really remember, but I feel like your stress level was going down. And then I feel like at the end of it, did you hug her or is that my imagination?
Yeah. So I could tell she was so like embarrassed because I feel like there's people on the internet that like hear like, oh, you're an empath, blah, blah, blah. But like I can sense, and some people out there might agree, they might call me weird, whatever. But when there's tension or I can tell someone's trying to hold in, like if they're upset, I can sense it. I swear to God, it's like a sixth sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just felt
I believe that. Yeah.
So even when she got like the spots, she got most of the spots out, she's spraying it. And then I finally tried it on, right? So I'm staying in the mirror and she's doing her normal thing, but you can tell like she's holding back tears. I could tell. And this poor woman, like you could tell she does not do this normally. She kept saying, I've never done this before. I've been in business for this long. I've never done this before. I'm so sorry. I kept saying sorry. And like we've all been in shitty positions where like we either forget something or we mess up something. We're late to something. We've all done that. And so like I could tell even when she was looking at the dress and I was standing on the podium or whatever you want to call it, she was like holding back tears. And I think she felt so embarrassed. And so then when we were booking the next appointment, she was like shaking. I remember seeing her hand shake because she was so embarrassed. And I go, hey, it's okay. And I was like, it's fine. We are good. You did a great job. And I was like, can I hug you? And I was like, I don't even know what she said. I was like teary eyed.
I feel like the tears coming right now because no bride does that. Just says so much about your character, not to like, whatever, kiss your butt. But no, seriously, like it's your wedding dress. Every little girl dreams about getting married and like having the perfect dress. And you have the situation. And at the end of it, instead of taking your dress, going somewhere else, you're being like, I better get this for free. None of that. It was, hey, you did a great job. And I remember you asked her for a hug and she was like, yes. And I saw you guys hugging. And I remember looking at your mom and we were both like, just so moved by that. And it was just so sweet to see. And yeah, such a good story. And when we left, there was still blood on the dress. You said that she cleaned it all off. She didn't get it all off. There was still blood on the dress. Do you remember that?
A lot of spots, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was just like, why? And I don't know where this comes from, but I'm like, why make someone feel worse? She probably feels terrible right now that she like messed up or forgot or, you know, she's so embarrassed. Because I read these stories with these bridezillas. And honestly, most stories that get sent to me aren't bridezilla stories. They're mostly like family related, whatever. But you read them and you're like, why make someone feel bad for like a mistake or an accident? Or I've worked in the restaurant industry. I know you have too. And it's like you see stuff like that too. People are terrible to people in the service industry. People are terrible to anyone that's just trying to help them out. And I'm like, I would feel awful leaving knowing that she was crying because of that situation. I want her to be like, no, I'm still your customer. You're busy. You do a great job. I obviously came to you because you were recommended by me. I'm not going to leave like a bad review or anything. The dress ended up looking gorgeous. I loved that dress. I still love it. There's so many heightened emotions around weddings. And I feel like it's so easy to lose your cool. Of course, like you hear about it all the time. But you have to remember, like the people you're working with are human too. They're allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Yeah, I knew. I was like, no, she hugged her. I remember she asked for a hug.
And honestly, that's kind of, I shouldn't say out of my character to ask someone for a hug, like a stranger. I don't know, something came over me and I was just like, she really needs a hug right now. And I just felt, because I remember just seeing her hand shake as she was like writing the next appointment. And I go, hey, it's okay. We're fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wedding day will be great, honestly. And she was like so sweet. She's like, send me pictures of the dress and all that. Yeah. I don't know.
She probably went home that day to like tell her family. And then she probably said how great you were. And like, I can't believe it. She hugged me at the end and I felt so bad. And thank God she was a good bride, like a sweet person. Yeah.
I don't know. She was great. And then I feel like there's a few groomsmen in our wedding that went to her and bridesmaids. Cause I was like, go to her. She's great. She's local for some of us. And yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah.
Like you said, she was a grandmother. So she's very grandmotherly, like motherly, like very sweet like that. And I was like, I'm not about to make someone feel bad for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've like really never talked about it just cause like I never would want it to get back to her. Like I was like talking about a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I'm not going to say the name or anything, but that she was amazing.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Craving more wedding drama? Join my wedding party Patreon for Here Comes the Drama After Dark. Each month we dive into juicy confessions, wedding 911 advice, and the spiciest hot takes. And of course, we always end with a wild wedding story reacting in real time. From bridesmaids to groomsmen, mother-in-law madness to photographer fails, every month has a new theme. Patreon members get early access to all regular episodes and an exclusive chat to discuss the drama. Don't just hear the drama, be a part of it. Join now. Okay, would you rather relive wedding planning with your current emotional tools or do it all again with zero coping skills? These are so wild.
No, why? Yeah, do it now. I would do things so differently now.
What would you do different?
I would try to set myself up for like successful marriage. But a part of me, I feel like I did like 80% of the things that I wanted, but I feel like I could have fought a little bit harder, like stood my ground on like the 20% of the things that I really was like, I need to make sure I do this. Like, I wish I would have incorporated more like family in our ceremony or like more cultural traditions, although I did have those kind of elements, but even more of that and like embraced it and took pride in it. But it's all like a growth process. Like you're growing, right? You get married at some people 20, some people 30s, but you're going to be different in your 20s from your 30s. So yeah. Great, obviously.
Yeah. I think about that too every once in a while. Like, what would I change? Honestly, I think most everything I'm still pretty happy with, but I feel like I was really not concerned is the wrong word, but with like the guest list and stuff, like where I made cuts. I'm proud of how we were with some of it because I'm like, oh, if Zach and I had gotten married like when we first started dating, like let's say 23, 24, it would have been a completely different guest list. I think way bigger.
I was going to say your guest list would have been huge.
Yeah. I just feel like because at that point, it's like everyone's your best friend. I feel like wedding party would have been way different. Yeah. I feel like more of a yes girl. Okay, yeah, let's do that. We probably would have had to rely more on parents for help or for different things. And I just feel like that changes as you get older. If you're like, you've been to more weddings. So you're like, okay, I like that. I don't like that. This is my style. That's not. But there were still, outside of that, there were still like people that we invited. And then we were like, never talked to them again.
Yeah.
And we were like, was it just we invited them because they were like friends of a friend? And then looking back, so I was like really strict with like, other than our nieces and nephews, I didn't invite anyone under 21. And I had some cousins that were like, middle teens. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I wish I would have invited them. I don't know if a lot of them would have come because they would have had to fly and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I kind of wish I invited like all my cousins.
Sure. That makes sense to me.
Again, like,
yeah.
Different if they lived all here, then they would have all come. But
yeah, I definitely wish I would have had more of like my cousins in our wedding party. I have a little brother who's way younger than me, but all of Matt's siblings, they were in the wedding party, but I grew up with my cousins who were like my siblings. So I had one of my cousins in there, but I wish I would have had the other three siblings because they're like my brothers and sisters. And that's something that I'm always like, oh, I asked actually my cousin last minute. I was like, please. He's like, okay, what do I need to bring, Eva? What do I have to wear to match your bridal party? And so we made it work, but I wish I would have done it like the right way from the beginning so that they felt like special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like relationships change or you visualize it a certain way, or I feel like we get this idea in our head and then we're like, why am I making it such a big deal? Just come in the wedding. Or yeah, it's like, I totally agree with that. I think too, like we had our nieces and nephews in the wedding, and I'm like, our one niece that I think at the time was 13, I wish I would have like had her stand the whole time, like with all the bridesmaids, and done something special like for her. And then I wish our nephews that weren't in the wedding had a special role or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, but we always think about those things.
And I think too, it probably changes now that we're moms and we're like family. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Family.
Yeah. Maybe that's it too. I still am very like firm on, because this is one of those most controversial things. And this is a hot take. I shouldn't say a hot take from my end, but like what people, anytime I post a video about kids at weddings, mm-hmm. it's so like controversial. There mm-hmm. are people that say it's not a wedding if kids are not invited. And there's people saying, don't invite your kids or don't bring your kids to my wedding because I don't want them there. You know, so they're just like polar opposites. I've been to weddings with no kids. They've been fun. I've been to weddings with tons of kids and they've been fun.
Sure.
Neither of them are going to affect, I feel like, how the wedding is. It's just like if the bride and groom want them there. But where I stand is you don't need your boss's kids there that you've never, sure. right? But if it's kids that are like in your life and they're important to you, then yeah, I feel like they should be there. I feel like it should be a relationship thing. That's where I'm at. Because some people are like, well, if their kids are there, then mine should be there. And it's like, well, do they know your kids? Have you brought them around? Just because there are some kids there doesn't mean that everyone's kid should be there.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
That's my two cents on that. So.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I like remember when my sister got married, she didn't invite any kids. So no one like under 18, I think. And there were like certain family members that like called my grandma, not even like my mom, but called like my grandma and were like, why aren't kids invited? And we're talking like distant family members. We're talking like my mom's cousin, mm-hmm. talking about their kids who like we barely saw, right? And they were like, well, when are the kids getting invited? And we're like, when's the last time they like talked to my sister? Things like that were kind of weird, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting how people.
Yeah.
You just got to respect what the bride and groom want, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we get too far into this, let me read. Don't worry. This story is not as long as last ones. I know last time our story was so long. So long. Here we go.
It was so long. You're like, should we stop now and record the other half later?
No, I was like, do we need a part two? Because so much happened. That was with that one. Oh gosh. If you guys haven't listened to last episode with Eva, I don't even remember what number it was. I should look it up. But it was the craziest story. It was like about a wedding influencer.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, she was using everything for her content.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was an insane story. So guys, go back and listen to episode 12 if you haven't, because it's wild.
Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself.
Okay, this week's story. This is about my sister, the bride, and how one joke she made ended with me not showing up to her wedding.
Ooh.
Ooh, this is getting spicy. Okay. I've never heard it from this perspective. It's always interesting hearing from a different perspective, because so many times I post stories and people are like, you're only getting one side of things. I'm like, yeah, well, that's usually how stories work, right? You only get one side. So I just have to take what I can. So sure. It's interesting to kind of hear from another person. Honestly, I've gone back and forth about whether to even share this, but I've been sitting heavy on it and I just need to get it out. I've been dealing with depression for years, therapy, meds, good days and bad days, the whole thing. My family knows, especially my parents, but I don't really talk about it too much. It's just a lot. Anyway, my older sister got married recently. She's always been the golden child, super loud, super confident, always the fun one at family gatherings. I've always been more low-key, kind of quiet. She doesn't really understand mental health stuff, never really tried to, but I didn't expect her to be cruel. A few weeks before the wedding, we had the rehearsal dinner at a restaurant. Why is the rehearsal dinner a few weeks before? That's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the week of, right?
Yeah.
Just close friends, family, and her fiance's family. She got up to do a test run of her thank you speech, trying to be funny. I don't know. Then she said this. Huge thanks to my sister for showing up tonight. We were starting to think they'd never crawl out of their sad little dungeon. Depression boss level, finally defeated. What?
No. What? No.
That is terrible.
Yeah, that's so many different. That's so bad. They? Dungeon? Depression?
Yeah. So she's basically calling you out in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the fact that she never even tried to understand your depression or talk to you about it or like be a sister to you.
Yeah.
And instead is just trying to embarrass you. Oh my gosh. Okay. Everyone left. Full on left. And I just sat there frozen. Literally didn't know what to say. After dinner, I pulled her aside and told her straight up, hey, that wasn't okay. That joke hurt. And she goes, oh my God, are you serious right now? It's just a joke. Get over it. You act like you're the only one with problems. I didn't even reply. I just left. Okay, there's like a lot, but that's that kind of attitude of like, get over it. Mental health's not real. You're fine. We all have issues. You know, it's like,
no. I just feel like all of her sister's hard work, if you already know, like if you know that, okay, I can't believe you're here. I'm shocked that you left your dungeon, whatever. I'm shocked you left your bedroom. What makes you think that saying that is going to make her come out again? That probably took so much courage and shows, oh, I love you. So I'm coming to support you, my sister. And that's how you repay her, by making fun of it. So what? So you can get a couple laughs in at your wedding and make you look funny, make you look good on your wedding day. And now look at that. Now your sister's not there.
Yeah.
So
I know. It's like they say you're... friends are sometimes your like first bullies.
I've never heard that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I see that all the time because maybe I made up that. Tell me if I took that from somebody. I would always say my friends were my first bullies. Friends like that I had in like elementary school, specifically one in high school. We can get to that. Because she always pretended to care about me, but she was the first one to put me down in a group. She was the first one to make fun of me. First one to leave me out. First one. I remember being at a friend's house and they were all drinking and I wasn't. And she literally made fun of me and then went back to school and said that I was like a narc for not drinking.
Yeah. As a therapist, being in that world and having adolescents come to me, I hear that all the time. Makes perfect sense. Like your closest friends are your first bullies, or like your friends are your bullies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost more dangerous because some people don't recognize it, because it's like, oh, they're my friend. They're obviously not actually bullying me, but yes, 100%. So it sounds like, yeah, the sister is definitely the bully in this situation. And yeah, she has to pay the price.
No, I was just saying, because yeah, I feel like you said it is more dangerous because that striving to be liked, especially depending on the age, like you're striving so hard to be liked and you want that relationship, right? And so you see the good times with this person, or they're including you in things, right? So you're unable to see like, oh, they're including me because I'm the butt of the joke, or, you know,
right.
It's like if you're in a bad relationship with someone, you can see the good moments and you're like push past the bad moments, like toxic or abusive or something. You're like, oh, but he brought me flowers the next day. So it's like a friend like that friend I had in high school when I was the only one. Oh my gosh, there's Krista. Oh, hey girl. Oh, you want to go shopping tonight?
Oh, yeah.
But then if there was other people around, I was like, pushed aside. I was made fun of. I was talked about behind my back. I mean, she doesn't say that she has any kind of relationship with her.
Right.
So it sounds like they just are completely different personalities.
Yeah.
Okay. So she says, I didn't even reply. I just left. A couple days before the wedding, I texted her and said I wouldn't be coming. Kept it short, told her I wasn't feeling well and wished her a beautiful day. She called me immediately, flipping out. See, it's like now she wants her there because she wants that body there.
Yeah.
Because it looks bad if she doesn't have her sister. Like, why doesn't she have that person? She said I was being selfish, making her wedding about me, and that I ruined everything over one little comment. Now my parents are mad too. Apparently I'm the bad guy. The fact that her parents didn't even back her up or be like, hey, maybe don't say that about your sister.
Yeah, it's problematic because it sounds like this other sister gets her way quite a bit. Like, she's like the life of the party kind of thing. And she probably like not sneaky here and there, but she just makes light of all the situations to get a laugh. And the parents are probably like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, your sister, but that doesn't make it okay. Because you're used to certain patterns or someone's behavior does not mean that it is okay. Poor girl.
Yeah, I think two of the other sisters, the golden child, because she's like well-liked, quote unquote, and like very outgoing. Maybe she has more friends and gets out and does stuff. They kind of put her on this pedestal, right? So like whatever she does can go. But I'm like, can't you see your other daughter is like suffering right now? And like, I don't know.
That'd be really, and it's funny that you said what the sister said was, oh, I can't believe, like, did you say she's making it about herself or something? You would think she would apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry. But I didn't hear an apology at all. Sure. It was all about like, yeah, yeah, no.
Mm. Yeah, she doesn't care. I keep replaying it all. Maybe did I overreact? I don't know. But also, I was already struggling. And then to be laughed at like that in front of everyone, it just broke something in me. I couldn't fake it. I couldn't go and pretend everything was fine just to protect her perfect day. Honestly, I always talk about protecting your peace. And if someone's going to bully you and say something like that to you, yeah, it's like you have to. I feel like she was doing the opposite, honestly. She wasn't making it about herself. She's like, I'm going to excuse myself from this because if I go, I risk the chance of being humiliated again. Maybe someone comes up to me and says, hey, that speech was really funny from your sister. Or, hey, how's that hole? You know, like it gives people permission then to keep going.
Yeah, I'm proud of her. Good for you for standing your ground, lady.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like complicated, all this stuff. Again, we're only seeing and hearing one side. If the sister would have write in, I'm sure she would say, right?
I did apologize. It was just a joke.
Mm-hmm. And anyone that, even if it was just a joke, right? If someone's coming to you and saying your joke hurt my feelings and you can't apologize, you're the problem.
That is a problem.
Because like, even if I were to be like, make a joke to you right now and I could tell it hurt your feelings, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I was poking me in that way. Like, I would never want to hurt someone's feelings that I care about.
Mm-hmm. My thing is something that I've learned to do just in general, when someone does make a joke that to me is not funny, instead of standing my ground or like defending myself, I'm like, why is that funny? Tell me why that's funny. And then they're like, oh, and then they feel stupid because they realize like, oh, I was actually being an or I was kind of being a about the situation.
No, I've actually heard that a lot. And I've had to do that a couple of times when people say sexist or racist things. I go, I don't understand. Tell me why that's funny.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, why is that funny? Tell me why that's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I actually had to do that not that long ago. Someone was making a joke and I was like, I don't understand. And then they like didn't know what to say. Because then when they have to break it down, they realize how dumb,
offensive, ignorant. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And I think people learn then not to say stuff around me. And like, I just don't put up with it anymore.
Yeah, good for you.
The world's full of enough hate. Like, I need to make it clear where I stand. And I joke like that.
Chris is a girl's girl, everyone. So always love.
Yeah, we don't make sexist or racist jokes around here. Yeah, is that how the kids do it now?
Yeah.
Wait, how is it? This?
No.
Oh, gosh. Wait. Oh, this? I can't even do that.
Yeah.
If you guys are just listening, we're trying to do
this. Girl.
Gen Z heart. I'm just going to stick the T Swift heart.
I know. My daughter, she does this because of T Swift.
So I love it. It's funny. The thing about ask your kids to hold up a phone.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter started playing with like pretending to do phone calls. She has a fake phone.
Yeah.
She goes like this. She goes. Yeah. And she'll be like, hi, Spidey. Hi, it's me. Bye.
I love that.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened to this?
I'm still like
the rotary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my parents had a rotary in their room growing up, and I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Those things were so fun to play with.
They were fun. I kind of wish we still had house phones, to be honest.
I keep telling Matt, my husband, that we need a house phone back.
Yeah. There's like pros and cons. Like I like being able to have a phone like when we go on a walk or I don't know, we are driving somewhere, right? It's like safety reasons. I think I've told you this before too, because like you've apologized like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, Yvette, you never have to apologize. You're busy. I get it. I never want someone to think that like this is a walkie talkie and that like when I text you, you have to respond right away. Like I'm not summoning you, but I feel like there's like this power phones have over us where we feel like someone texts me, like I need to get back to them. And like, Zach has that where he's like, if I don't text them back, I feel like I'm letting them down. I'm like, people will live. If it's not an urgent request, you can give it a day or two. And isn't that crazy how that seems long for a text?
Yeah, for me, it takes me ages. So I'm like, whatever. But yeah, I hate my phone. I feel like we just need to like put our phones away as soon as we get home. Don't use them. And at the same time, I'm addicted to them. I hate texting because I like connection with people, and texting is so impersonal that I'm like, I don't like it. I would much rather do this, FaceTime you, call you, even like hear your voice. I would much rather prefer that. I'm like old school when it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to tell big news or hear big news via text. And so I feel like, especially like with you, I feel like we'll catch up sometimes. But I'd rather like really catch up like in person and like have our deep one-on-ones, because I'm like, texting how's it going is for like acquaintances.
Yes.
Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, how's everything? Okay, great.
It feels so not real. And I'm like, wait, yeah. I want to talk to you. I want to see you. I miss you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's go beyond the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's a little bit more of the story. Okay. It says, now she isn't talking to me. It's been a few weeks. No apology, nothing, just silence. I keep wondering if I should have just sucked it up and gone for the sake of family peace or avoid the drama. But at the same time, I know how low I felt after that dinner. I know how hard I worked to just show up that night, like you were saying. And then to have her turn me into a punchline, like my pain was entertainment. And the worst part, I'm the one everyone's upset with. My parents say I embarrassed the family, that I should have put my feelings aside for one day. But no one's asking how I felt being laughed at in a room full of people. No one's asking how hard it was to just be there. I don't know what's going to happen with us. Maybe we'll talk eventually. Maybe we won't. That makes me really sad.
It's so hard because I see both sides a little bit now. Because it is your big day. You want your sister. But like, if that would have been the case, then you would have apologized. And you would have been like, I'm sorry. You would have said, I'm sorry. And try to mend the relationship so that your sister could go to the wedding. But I'm on her side. You should not feel bad about this. I'm so proud of you again for standing your ground. And like you said, they no longer have any ammo to keep doing this to you, because now everyone can recognize like, oh no, she's serious, and good for you. There's this thing, the let them theory, or like the book, Let Them. And yeah. It's a little bit like, just let them. That's okay. And they'll live, you'll live. And hopefully in the future, if it's supposed to be fixed, it will be fixed. And I hope that you get your apology, but you might not. But what I hope for most is that you can forgive your sister, which takes a lot of work, but you don't need an apology to forgive someone. But if you don't forgive someone, it's going to be eating at you. That other person's going to be living their life, not even thinking about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's why you're the professional.
Yeah.
I'm just here to chat. And you like, guys, Yvette is an official, like you are
official. I got my certificate in the mail. I'm like, yay.
Yes. What's your like official title for everyone that's listening?
Licensed professional counselor.
So she can give actual advice. I mean, I'm sure like there's stipulations that you can't give.
Yes, you're right.
Like this is general.
I actually can't give advice. I'm more like, you go, girl. What are we doing? What do you
general? Want? Yeah. They're not your client. You're just giving your professional. Yeah. I love that. Because I can listen to this story, right? And I can be like, I know what I would do in certain situations, right? Well, One, I want to be the sister that would bully. I would never call someone out like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying too. It's like, I've been the people pleaser before too, where you just suck it up and you attend. It is more complicated when it's a sister versus a friend. Like, yeah, 100%. If a friend treated me like that, I'd be like, I don't think I can go to the wedding. I mean, everything's so complicated. It's like,
right.
Whole story. We don't know the details. We're not her. The fact is that she made the best choice for her. And right now it's going to be hard looking back and being like, did I overreact? Why do they all act like I'm the villain now because I didn't show up? But reality, she stuck it to, like, I mean, she really held firm on her boundaries, which not a lot of people can say. I don't think I would have been that strong. Honestly. Yeah. Someone did that to me. I'm like trying to think, if only taking this information right here, I probably still would have gone to the wedding. And I would have probably.
That's the people pleaser coming out. Yeah. And I am that way too. And it's funny that I say that, because I feel like you say, oh, I used to be such a people pleaser, but I've seen you work so hard on your boundaries, like setting boundaries and being like, I know your boundaries. So I know, like, I don't want to say like what I can get away with or what I not, but like, I know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable around you. And I respect you even more for that.
What boundaries do I have? You can't do it wrong.
I feel like not really with me. I just respect your privacy, respect that you're protective over your daughter. And it makes me respect you more. But also family dynamics or like friend you know what I mean? Like different kind of things. Like you're firm in that. And I'm like, I love you for that. So that's, yeah.
I always try to say like, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I'm bad at saying like no to things, or like, I know right off the bat, if Zach's like, oh, we were invited to this and this. And I'll be like, that doesn't sound like something that would interest me or I want to spend my time doing. Like we were talking today about valuable friendships or like where we want to spend our time, right? And this is not to sound in a certain way, but like if it's, let's say it's like an old friend of Zach's that I never met from years ago. It's like, let's catch up and get dinner. I'm like, you go have fun. You take all night, do your thing. I will stay home. For me, that's just, I'd rather be home. But if it's like, let's catch up with our good friends and like have a date night. Yeah, I'm in. So it's like really like spending time of what's going to bring you joy. Because I feel like a lot of times in my 20s, I would just say yes to things because someone would invite us and we'd go and I'd be like, I wanted to stay home and I didn't listen to myself.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, no, I want to do this. Or yeah, I feel like it's just, we have to listen to those gut feelings because they're there for a reason.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Speaking, I think I was going to say something else. You were saying something else and I was like, oh yeah, that's a good point. I think too, well, yeah, about like boundaries and stuff. So many times people think like if you have a boundary, you're like rude. And I think that's what I told myself this whole life. When I was younger, like I didn't know what boundaries were, right? And I thought like if people said no, like you're rude, like they're going to talk bad about you. But in reality, like if you just say things respectfully or you just carry yourself in a certain way, people then just kind of like learn is okay with this person or just don't say this around this person or that kind of
thing. Back to what I said, I think when you start to implement boundaries in your life, it equals respect because people recognize like, oh, they respect themselves enough to like stand up for themselves, then it makes them hopefully respect them. And if not, like then they're cut off. You know what I mean? But essentially like what it does is it builds respect.
Cause yeah, I think if this happened to me in my 20s or something, whether it was like my sister or a friend of mine or something, right? I think I would have gone and then I would have like let it eat at me and I would have just held on to this. Like you said, it would just affect you. Like you would just hold on to it. And then like every little thing they would do would probably make me mad, or I would just hold on to this grudge and it would probably just get bigger. And yeah, because there were friendships I held on to for a long time that were like, they were awful to me. I can still think about all the things they did. And then literally it was like one day in my like mid 20s, I was just like, I'm not going to call that person. And then they didn't call me. And it was kind of just like,
yeah,
our time. After her kind of describing how she all felt after it, I don't blame her one. She knew what she needed to do to protect her peace in that moment. And if I were her, I won't expect an apology. It doesn't sound like the sister is one to apologize. If she can't see why you're hurt now, unless she grows a lot over the next year or so, maybe it'll happen.
You know that there's going to be some kind of conversation in the future about this, your sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bound to happen.
It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a crazy story. And that was sad. Sometimes they end and they're sad. I'm just like, I make these skits online. They're so like drama filled and they're entertainment. But like deep down, a lot of these stories are so much like heartbreak and hurt. Like I make them in an entertaining way that's like goofy characters, right? Yeah. Right. But there's so much heartbreak and hurt in a lot of these stories that's just like, to go through this, like, I don't know how some of these people go through these things and just move on, like how family members are terrible to them and they have to like show a brave face. I don't know how they do it because I feel very lucky that I've never had to deal with something like super intense like these stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I don't think I've had anything too crazy like that either. I can sit here and look at my life and complain about this, this and that. But in reality, no. My parents, my extended family, my immediate family, my husband, my in-laws, they're actually really good to me. Really lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Let's end on some weekly confessions here.
I've been on a high note.
I mean, we'll see how these confessions go, but maybe we can end on a high note either way. Okay. My husband's mom walked around, I'm guessing at their wedding, telling everyone she wasn't taking pictures with me. Why? Why deliberately do that though? You just want someone to ask questions like, why? Why don't you like her?
Yes. She's evil. What is it, Momzilla?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Monster-in-law.
Monster.
That's what it is.
Why are they like that? This one says, I wish I'd had the guts to tell my bestie not to bring his attention-seeking girlfriend.
Oof.
That's complicated. That's complicated.
Complicated. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I just read a story. I think it's coming out Well, by the time your episode comes out, it'll already be out. But it's a similar story. Well, I mean, this one's really short, but where it's like a guy, girl, best friend. They like stay best friends for years through marriage and like kids mm-hmm. on her side, marriage and kids. And then when he goes to get married, it's like a girl that like hates her. And it's like this weird relationship. And so like, I feel like that's complicated. And it's like, okay. Last confession. My flower girl was absolutely out of control at my wedding. Her parents did nothing. Watch your kids.
Ugh, I get that. Like a kid's going to be a kid, sure, but you got to watch your kids. The kid's going to be a kid, but the parent has to be a parent. Like you wanted a kid, you got to parent the kid.
That's one of the biggest things I see is like the kids aren't the problem. It's when the parents don't watch the kids at the wedding. Yeah. That's a problem. All circumstances, right? It's like I could go to a restaurant with my child and she could pick up like a box of crayons and just throw it all over. And I just look at them. I'm like, whatever, she's a kid. Or I'm like, no, we're going to get on the floor. We're going to pick them up. Right. And so it's like showing her. I was just telling my husband, like we were at the library and like, I don't want this to come off like I'm judging because we've all been in situations where like we've left a place and we're just like, wait, did I pick up whatever? But like we were at the library and this little boy is just throwing stuff, like literally throwing. There's like a crate of toys. He's in there throwing it. The mom's like kind of around, kind of on her phone.
Yeah.
Walking around. And then she finally sees him. And I'm there with like my friend and our kids. And we're like reading a book to them. And he's throwing stuff. It's like hitting the girls. And I'm like just kind of grabbing it. I'm like, oh, ha-ha, like trying to make light of it. She walks over, finally sees him. And she's like, oh, you made a mess over here. So I'm thinking she's going to sit there and be like, this is how we clean up. All of a sudden, they're just gone. They're on the other side of the library. So they're still there.
Like, hey, you got this, right? Thank you.
Literally, it was like, you're fine. And then like, a minute later, then he's like pulling books off the shelves. And he was like old enough to know better. Like it wasn't like a 1 or 2 year old. And so it's one of those things where I'm just like, kids are going to be kids. Absolutely. Like I would never fault a kid for like throwing stuff or like pulling books off. But it's like, take that step. So that is kind of the risk you have with having a flower girl. But also like if the parents are there.
Yeah.
Gotta step in a little bit.
Yeah. And moving forward, your next wedding. No. But like just a tip for other people is like having guidelines for the parents, like, hey, she's a little young. Could you, like, if you see her maybe like doing this or that, could you kind of redirect her and help her out? That would be like a good conversation to have.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, that is all we have for this week. What exciting things do you want to share? What's going on?
I'm going to Norway.
I'm so excited for you.
You knew that.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that.
I did know that.
That would be really bad.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's always so fun hanging out.
It's fun.
This was like 3 months. You came on last fall, remember?
Yes, before you even had a podcast.
Yeah.
Last year.
We like did it in the future. All right. Well, I guess this is
it. Thanks for having me.
How do we say goodbye?
I'll see you soon in person. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you next weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.